Coming to you live from the Jim Butler Ballroom at the Mitzvah Hotel. It's time for another commute with your hosts, Faye and Brenda. This is Drive Time to Nova.
Well, here we are again, Brenda. We're actually physically standing in front of the K-Fab Radio Studios here in the Mitzvah Hotel.
Great.
And just to the left of us is Twyla's Pack and Tack Shop, and to the right of us is our little duplex dwelling that you built for us.
What do you think of it?
They're absolutely adorable. Folks, I'm talking about the little village that Brenda has made out of
birdhouses.
Birdhouses, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely adorable, and I know you've probably already seen them on Twitter if you're Twitter followers of us. So I'm here. If this is not making anything clear, I am here with Brenda in Brenda's private studio in Bellingham, Washington, and we're looking at the birdhouses that she's built.
Yes. We are in the same location. The quality is better than normal.
Yes.
Since we're in the same place. We're not on Skype. We're not using a Zoom. So here we are. We've had a very nice day together. We went and did something and made a major decision just this very day.
It's been rather a semi-stressful day.
Sort of.
But turned out to be a good decision.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Perhaps. Where have we just come from?
Just come from or earlier come from?
Well, I'm not just, talking about not the gas station.
We've just been to the Safeway gas station. We just came from the Humane Society here in town. I had gone there on Friday after work and met a couple of dogs that I had seen online, and one was a Chihuahua, as I like, or a Chihuahua, and one was a Pekingese mix, I believe, and both are really cute, tiny dogs, about 7 pounds, I would guess, and I kind of decided on this one. His name was Coda, and I was going to pick him up Monday morning. He was going to get his balls snippy snapped, and they encouraged me. They said, if you want to come in over the weekend and play with them and walk around with them, you can do that. These are our hours. So Faye was coming down today. I said, let's go meet this doggy I'm going to adopt. And so this is the second time I've spent some time with him. And as we were leaving, I had a question to ask Faye, but I want to ask you, what did you think of this little guy?
Well, it's a lovely little dog. Very adorable. Soft and fluffy and cuddly. He was not very interested in us. He seemed to have a lot of things to do, like sniffing around and checking all the bushes. Had his own agenda. It's a great little dog, but I didn't feel there was much of a connection, either myself to the dog. The dog just had no... I didn't feel there was any chemistry between you and the dog, or that the dog had any interest in being around people.
Yeah, he really seems like he's either kind of got this shelter mentality. Maybe he's been there too long. Maybe he's been passed around to one too many places. But he wouldn't make eye contact. He went along with us. He would let us pick him up and pet him and kind of listened on the leash.
Yeah. He was not a disagreeable dog by any means. Very, very nice dog. But it seemed to me that it was lacking personality.
Like, we had been walking on this boardwalk and a lady walked by with her dog, and this dog seemed happier to see me than this dog that I seen twice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just felt like, I don't know,
You had some doubts previous to today, did you?
Yeah, I did. Friday night. I thought, am I doing the right thing? This dog doesn't seem to give a shit about me. But then I was like, oh, well, you know, he's used to getting manhandled. I just thought, oh, that's just, You know, I don't remember either one of my dogs before jumping up and down like, hooray, we're going home with her. But so I thought I was trying to remember what was it like with those two dogs before. And I really couldn't remember. So I thought I was reading into it like, oh, this is, we'll get past this. But I started thinking about the logistics of this apartment.
Right.
There's a staircase. We started counting up the hours. This dog would be alone by itself for 10 hours a day, which is a lot to ask from a dog, I think. But ultimately, it came down like he just like didn't give a shit. And it was a big expense. And I was telling you that I thought maybe all this love that I thought that I wanted this dog, maybe I still do, but I don't think he's the dog for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good decision to let this dog go. So you've ultimately decided that you're not getting this dog.
Mm-hmm. I made the call, and I thought they might be pissed off because I'd committed to it, but he's like, oh, that's fine. If you ever see another dog, just come back in. So I think they probably appreciate that more than just taking the dog, getting it to your house, and then surrendering it again, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's the right thing. I don't think you're... as much as you say that you really do want a dog, and I know you do want a dog, and I'm sure you'll have a dog eventually, but maybe right now is just not the right time, and definitely I don't think this is the right dog.
Right.
I think you need to have some sort of connection to your animal that you're going to spend the next 15 years with.
Right.
So there's that to consider too, right?
And I told you that if I'd gotten him home and he was always indifferent, I'm the sort, I would have been like, well, we're in this now together, roommate. Right. I don't like you. You don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair for either one of us, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, no doggy right now.
No. But you'll come across a dog. There'll be a dog in your future.
Yeah. Do you want to tell everybody what you felt like when you met Max for the first time?
As soon as I saw Max, he had some personality. I felt attracted to him in some certain way. And there was just there just seemed to be a feeling that I want this dog. I want to love this dog. And I want this dog to be in my life.
Yeah. I felt that way with Maud.
Right.
When I first met her, even though she seemed like she was just in compliance, but we were, you know, best buddies there. Mm-hmm. And actually, after I made the phone call, I just felt relief. So I think I made the right decision.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Well, that's that.
There we go.
You have another opportunity.
It's funny because, like, you know, I've been showing you some people who have responded to this profile that I put on myself for myself on OurTime.com. I don't recommend it for at least the Bellingham area. Anyway, but after I did it, and even it was kind of exciting and flattering when somebody responded. I was like, I don't want to actually go out on a date with any of these people. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to date. I'm not ready to have a dog. I guess I'm content right now the way it is. Is that okay?
I think it's good. I think you need to have plateaus in your life. I mean, we can't always be on a roller coaster. There has to be a times in your life. I mean, you just got off a roller coaster. And I don't think you should be rushing into any sort of commitments, whether it's a dog or a boyfriend or a romantic entanglement, whatever you want to call it. I think you should just take some time to live maybe a bit of a structured life for a little bit before you start getting yourself embroiled up in another relationship.
Yeah, I'm not motivated. Yeah. I'm not motivated at all. It was flattering. But, you know, everybody likes that. So.
Yeah. Well, of course, I mean, you're going to want, we all want to be wanted, and we all want to feel like there's somebody out there who wants the best for us, and we want people in our lives. But along with that comes a lot of commitment too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to reciprocate in relationships as well. We have a long time ahead of us. We don't need to be rushing into things.
Yeah, I agree. So that's the big news that isn't. I was thinking the same thing about my life kind of finally feeling settled.
Right.
Like, I've gotten into a routine. I don't feel like when I don't wake up in the middle of the night anymore and go, what the fuck am I doing here?
Right.
I feel kind of like normal. Like, I'm used to living here now. I'm used to the routine. Yeah, because there was a lot of chaos. But yeah, almost a year ago, everything turned upside down.
Right.
So
it's not even quite a year. Well, I guess it...
No, a couple months shy.
Barely a year.
Mm-hmm.
And a year to unravel all that is not a long time to do all the things that you've done.
I think when you rush into something new, you either were so over the last relationship years before that you've worked out everything in your head already, or you're just going to drag that shit along with you into the next relationship, right?
Yeah, true.
So mm-hmm. I've never understand people that just go from one relationship to the next to the next. I don't get that.
Right.
Do you?
No, I think there's something wrong. If you're doing that, it's because you feel like you need to have somebody in your life, or maybe you don't want to take responsibility for your own... I don't know, a personality or your own life, that you need somebody else to point you along in the direction or whatever. There's unhealthy reasons why people enter into serial relationships, right?
Serial relationships, yeah, you're right.
So I feel strongly that people need time to exhale. And if you look at it this way, you've sort of been barreling along from when this marriage of yours dissolved, basically from the day that one of the two of you said, I want a divorce, you've been on this steam train barreling along to try to create a new life for yourself. You know, okay, we're going to get a divorce. Let's get a divorce. Go through the paperwork. See the lawyers. Sign the papers. Get the hell out of my house. travel across the country. Find a new life. Get a job. Find an apartment. And you've just been chugging, chugging, chugging along like mm-hmm. an out-of-control train, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And now, finally, you've come to this place. You're settled in. And you should just take some breathing time to exhale. Just settle for a minute before you start diving into any new relationships or any major commitments.
Yeah. I was trying to be proactive because several people were telling me, Brenda, you need to get out and meet people. You need to get out and meet people. That's why I did that hour time thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, fine, okay, I'll fill something out. You know, see, you know, maybe I can meet a friend. Do you need help?
Yes, I do, but not with my bottle. Thanks.
Counseling.
Isn't that what this is?
Oh, yeah. Who's counseling who?
Oh, well, we'll get to that later. So people were pressuring you, just saying, come on, put yourself out there.
Yeah, they were. People in my family. Well-meaning people.
But what's the rush?
I don't know. Because I had made the comment that, you know, I do sometimes get lonely here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think dating's the answer to any loneliness.
Yeah, I agree.
I will take the money that I was going to spend on this dog, and maybe I'll take a pottery class.
Oh, there you go. I bet you'll meet interesting people in a pottery class. Those pottery people are whacked. Especially at a Washingtonian.
So today we were in Fairhaven. We had breakfast, and you had made the comment that there was a certain type of person that lives here.
Yes.
And we were discussing that because I'm still trying to figure out what do I think of all these people,
yeah.
this Washington type of personality. And do you want to describe a typical Washington resident?
It seems to me that there's these Washingtonians, or maybe it's West Coasters, or this style of person who lives here on the coast. They're sort of a granola set. They appear to me to be fairly healthy people. I think many of them are very active, because yeah. there's a lot to do around here. There's the mountains and hiking, your favorite thing. Hiking.
Biking. Don't forget about biking.
Yeah, people in kayaks. And so there's a lot of outdoor activity that goes along here. And so you have that sort of granola set that falls into that category. People dressed very casually around here. Mm-hmm. We were in a restaurant today, and people were wearing these sort of cutesy little light flowing dresses. The girls were, anyway.
That one guy was.
Yeah, right. So it just feels like people have just sort of stepped out of their bush cabin to come into town in a certain respect.
Right.
So, and it's a kind of a laid back aesthetic, right?
Do you like it?
I'm fine with it. And it's very artsy. The people around here are very artsy, and you can see it in the stores. Like, what was the name of the Three Letters Cafe, or what was that?
Lettered place? Street Coffee Shop.
Right. And, I mean, this Washington and Vancouver, I apply the same brush to Vancouver.
To me, it's like the same, hey, man. Whatever you want to do is okay with me.
Yeah, precisely. Very kind of hippie-ish.
Yeah, casual, relaxed, but in an uptight way. I can see that their rules are different than what you would call a Republican, or, you know, somebody who is a little more conservative. But they have their own set of rules, too. You know, it's just a different
right.
kind. And everybody, I know everybody dresses in this high-end athletic wear. Have you noticed
that? Oh, yeah,
that?
Of course, yeah.
Very expensive stuff.
Right.
I don't see anybody like in cotton around here. I don't know if it's because they need water.
No, they're all wearing synthetic layers for when they go kayaking.
Kayaking.
And fleece.
Everybody's coat looks like it's water repellent, that's for sure.
That's true. Well, that's a bit of a necessity here.
Nobody colors their hair here. Like back in Iowa, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, woman-wise, you know, you'd see an 80-year-old woman and her hair would be dyed. Nobody thinks it's necessary to dye their hair here, it seems. And if they do, it's these crazy colors.
Yeah, sure.
Pink
and blue and purple.
And
mm-hmm. Yeah, we were noticing several couples, people walking around with very natural, long,
stringy
ponytailed hair, both men and women.
Yeah. You know, I used to aspire to be a hippie. I used to think that would be so cool, you know, you just make your own rules and, you know, have your artsy lifestyle and everything. And part of that still appeals to me. I'm too much of a smartass to really be a hippie. Don't you think hippies don't really have that kind of...
Yeah, and I kind of hesitate to use the word hippie to apply it to these people, because I think there's this... hippies are more free-spirited. These are like uptight hippies.
Yeah.
They're hippies from the 70s who figured out that they needed to load up their 401k, and they're all driving Volvos, right?
Right.
So more of a yuppie hippie, maybe.
Right. I think, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Because, yeah, they're not like hippies walking around in...
dreadlocks and Birkenstocks.
No.
Necessarily, but they're well-to-do, forward-thinking...
Educated.
And highly educated hippies.
Well, we were walking along this park. It's called Boulevard Park. It has a boardwalk up there. And I had said to Faye, as we were looking at the people, I never thought of it like this, but I had said to him, I go, the world really is just centered around heterosexuals. And because you look around and there's all these families and couples and people holding hands and
people running with their baby carriages.
Yeah. And I never thought of it like, I could understand why if I was gay and I walked into this scene and I felt like if I hold my partner's hand, I'll get stared at, that I might not do that, right? I wouldn't probably act the way I wanted to.
Right.
And I'd feel resentful. Like, what is so special about these assholes that they get to do what they want to do, but I've got to act nicey-nice for their benefit?
Right. And the couple kissing each other on the beach.
Yeah. Yes. That could have, you know, if you saw a same-sex couple on the beach, I don't think people would mob them, but there definitely would probably be at least one or two people doing a double take.
Right. A raised eyebrow here and there.
Yeah.
Where you and I are right now is very progressive.
Yeah.
But still, what you're saying, I think, is there's still a general idea that gay couples don't fit into the societal norm. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think gay couples act as...
are as free.
They don't feel free to do the stuff that all these heteros around them are doing.
Yeah.
Snuggling and
right.
doing whatever. And like if you do hear about a same-sex couple having babies, it's like, it's either like an abomination or it's so goddamn precious that the world stopped turning. And it's like there's got to be something in between, right? I want it just to be normal. Be like, oh, you know, Tom and Tony got a baby. Well,
right.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But Tony's still an asshole, you know?
Right.
Because they make it, you know, sometimes it goes too far the other way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The pendulum swings. There's going to be a time, hopefully fairly soon, though, where these sort of attitudes are no longer... that they're even considered to be an attitude.
Yeah. We're all just people. Doesn't whatever. Who cares? I mean, it's not even my fight, and I find it exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Do you think just because you know now in your life so many gay men, do you think that you're just more attuned to the way heterosexuals conduct themselves?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I never would have thought twice about it before.
Right.
Because it's just, you know, what it seemed normal, and I'm using quotation marks. Since I've known you guys, I've started to think what it must be like to put myself in your shoes and to feel like you had to act in a certain way.
Right.
I mean, me and Eric used to hold hands all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just never occurred to me that we couldn't or shouldn't or anybody would give a shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, so this got us talking also about gender. And I had said to you that I might have a problem with somebody who was born a man who started living like a female. I might have a problem if they came into my bathroom. And a public bathroom, not my personal. Like, how'd you get in here? A public restroom. And he's like, well, why? What does it matter? They've always felt like a woman. What does it matter if they're coming in there? They're not a man, they're a woman. And I said to you, there's some part of me that thinks all men could potentially be dangerous.
Yes.
And straight men will do some pretty fucked up shit to see girls do the most heinous things, you know, even taking a dump. Somehow this is erotic, you know, putting cameras in bathrooms and whatnot.
Sure.
So it wouldn't be beyond my scope of believing that some jackass would dress up like a girl using this ruse to get into a woman's bathroom. If nothing else, like I said, to put a camera there and then never go back, just knowing that the camera's there and he had it linked in, you know, creepiness.
Okay. Okay, well, I have a lot of problems with this whole premise here.
Well, I know it's not common. It's been known to happen. It has happened. Landlords.
So you're basically saying, I don't want any transgendered women coming into my bathroom because there's a slim chance that a man is going to come in here to rig a camera.
My initial response would be, if I saw somebody who was a transgendered woman, that my initial gut response, without even thinking, would be like, kind of like, oh God, there's a guy in here. And that I wouldn't feel safe. And it's not because of them being transgendered. It's because I just see a guy.
I see.
Because on some level, I think most women go around sussing out men as if they're dangerous or not. If this guy's ignoring me, this guy could be a potential threat. Ooh, keep away from him. He's, you know, I think...
Right.
I think women do that. I don't think guys go through life like that. Do you?
No. I think a heterosexual male goes through life not considering the threat of any other heterosexual male. I think as a gay man, I'll speak from my own private experience, personal experience. As a gay man, I think I am always leery and suspicious of straight men. I understand what you're saying because I, too, sometimes see men as a threat.
Mm-hmm. I've seen you with that leery look on your face. The first year in Vegas, did we get stopped by a cop? Or somebody, remember?
Don't tell anyone about that. No, I don't remember any cops stopping us.
You asked directions from somebody, I think, and your whole demeanor kind of changed. You, for lack of a better way of saying it, you kind of butched up.
Oh,
and you're
yeah.
not like a super effeminate person anyway, but you kind of dropped your voice and talked a little different. I mean, remember okay. Eric pointed that out to you?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have ever said anything, but all of a sudden you talked a little bit deeper.
I'm not surprised. And I probably did, yes. And if I think about it, I would concur. That is something that I probably do as a defense mechanism.
Right.
Getting back to your point, I understand how you, as women, can see every man as a potential threat. And I think that, unfortunately, I think that's a positive thing. I mean, that's a it's something that you need to consider.
Yeah. You know, it's not that I would ever say I don't want a transgendered woman in my bathroom. I just think there would be that initial gut response, like, oh God, there's a guy in here. I can't pee when he's in here. I'll be in a very vulnerable position, right?
Right.
So, but that was...
This is presuming, though, that this is a really poor passing transgendered woman.
Right. There's some good ones.
What if you had a fully post-operative transgender female that you would may never know?
Well,
this wouldn't cross your mind.
No. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't notice. But there are a few men I've seen walking around town here that are clearly men in dresses.
There's
no getting around it.
Right.
But that got us leading on to this next topic that you... Why don't you say it in your own words?
Yeah, so we continued this vein a little bit, and we're discussing, have you ever wanted to be an opposite gender yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I believe you asked this question of me, and I said, the only time I ever thought that I wanted to be a woman was when I was first... early figuring out that I was gay. I considered the fact that life would be a lot easier if I was just a woman, because then I could easily go after men.
Right.
I also said to myself I'd be the sluttiest woman anyone ever met, because I'd be hitting on guys all the time, I think. But
you get a reputation. You guys got to check out that Faye. Wow, she'll give it up right now. I mean, seriously, right now, here in the parking lot.
I outgrew that wish after not too long, because I realized I don't want to be a woman. I've never felt the need to be a woman.
I don't think you think like a woman.
No.
You seem like a man to me.
Right. I couldn't do it. I don't think I could do it.
It's a big commitment.
Yeah. What about, and of course, obviously, you know, why would I? I don't have feelings of transgenderism within me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a defense because I knew that I couldn't possibly be gay because that would be very, very bad. So the only way to get around being gay would be thinking I should have been born a woman.
Yeah. Would you want boobies? Did you go that far in your thought? Like, what would it feel like to have things up top moving around and not just down below moving around?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever considered the physical ramifications of it. I just wanted to be able to have better access to boys. I wanted to be able to be attracted to boys without having to explain why.
Right. I hear you.
Have you ever had a thought of being wanting to be a man or to be differently gendered?
It has crossed my mind that it might be interesting to have a penis for a day just to see what that was like. Well, I think sex has got to be just an entirely different experience because it seems like sex for a man is just, you know, I'm going to come. There's just no getting around it. It's going to happen.
Right.
It's not that way with women. I do think it's a feeling of power that I think men get out of entering. You guys always say, oh, a girl wants to ride it just as much, but it's different. It's a different dynamic. So I thought about that. It might be, but to long term, to have something flopping around between my legs, no thanks.
Right.
No. And I'm kind of indifferent to, like, male genitals. Like, I like what they can do with it, but, you know, it's not like I want to sit around and just look at it. Where mm-hmm. it seems like a lot of gay men are just very content just to have it there, look at it,
right.
have it around as much as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's because sex for men is much more physical. That penis is just, all it is a bundle of nerves. So when a man has sex, the whole point is to stimulate the nerves in that penis.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for women, sex tends to be much more of a an emotional reaction or it's
hormonal. It's definitely cycles throughout the month.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely is connected with what time you are of the month because when you ovulate, you get horny just because your body's telling you, make a baby, make a baby.
Right.
And then once that time's gone, you'd be like, whatever, go away. I don't care. Because when I was younger, 3 weeks out of the month, I was like, whatever. I don't, well, actually, so 1 week you have your period. Or so, like, there's 2 weeks you're just indifferent, for me anyway. There was only about a week a month I was interested. And then it was just like, oh, okay, well, that's done. I'd like to think about something else for a while.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway, back to your question about being a man. I don't think like a man at all. I think I'm very much driven by my hormones, which is a very feminine thing.
Right.
There's like this girly girl hiding inside of me. I know I don't look like it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's a bit of a girly girl hiding inside me, too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I have a feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sensitive side.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call it a womanly side, but I think I have aspects to my personality which are very feminine and caring and soft and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I'm not exclusively male. I know that. This is part of the problem with our gender spectrum is that the world wants us to either be a man or be a woman. And nature has its own ideas because we know about transgendered people who are accidentally born into the wrong bodies. But then there's also, I think, on the gender spectrum, no one is completely male and completely female because I think everyone has a different mix of how much femaleness and maleness they have inside them. Mm-hmm. And why can't we just be who we want to be? Which is why, like, we were talking about being downtown here in Bellingham. And, I mean, one of the interesting things about the West Coast is you see a lot more different shades of the gender spectrum around here, too, right? I think people are more free and open. This sort of hippiness that comes out, it comes out in people like the man in the skirt. Or the people with the blue hair and the tattoos and piercings all over their faces.
I also want to say that there's also a pretty strong masculine side to me, too, wearing in there, because I want to have my own way. And sometimes I feel like, why don't you listen to me? I clearly know what's best. But there's a societal the societal girl in me will be quiet usually. But I'm getting more and more don't back down about stuff.
Right.
But I do think there's part of me that thinks like a man. Do you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. I wouldn't call it a man. I think that you have an assertiveness inside you, and I keep encouraging you to let this strong woman out.
Yeah.
I think there's a side of you that knows what you want, and you're slowly letting that person come to the bubble up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I hesitate to call it maleness. I think it's your deeply ingrained personality being allowed to come through, to come out.
Yeah. It feels like when people are not allowed to be the person that they want to be is what all this depression is from.
Right.
So whether you don't feel like you're allowed to be gay or be allowed to be a woman if you want to be, if you're a man, or if you're not allowed to assert yourself or talk the way you want to talk, it's like you're trying to fit into somebody else's peg, and no matter how hard you try, you're never going to fit.
Right. People want to put you into this box, and when you don't feel like you fit that box, then you start building doubts about yourself, mm-hmm. which can lead to depression. And
I've always felt like everything that came natural to me was some kind of inconvenience for everybody else.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So in order to get along, then that's what pushed down, just to like make life easier than just go along and like, fine, I don't really want to do this. Because every time I would assert myself into saying that something I wanted, it was just like a pain in the ass for everybody. But yeah, I don't think you'll ever get any peace of mind if you constantly try to be something you're not. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I hit my 40s, I always felt, up until the time that I was 40, I always felt like I was searching around for something, for who am I? Who is this person? I wasn't comfortable with my homosexuality for the first 20 years of my life. And then I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I didn't have any career focus or family focus. I always felt like I was sort of flying around with no real direction in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I hit my 40s, and I'm talking about not only just career-wise, but just even personality-wise, focus on myself, my own, I don't know, whatever, my own person. I didn't know who I was until I hit about 40. This is probably the same for many of us. We go through life trying to meet what other people think we should be doing, trying to fill the needs of other people and how they think they see us. And we're constantly searching for, or soul searching, or whatever you want to call it. I think right now you are coming to this point in your life where you're saying, I'm no longer going to be the person that other people want me to be. I'm finally starting to find my own value, my own place in my own life, and you're starting to let that person come out.
Yeah, there was always something inside of me, too, that felt like I wasn't living up to my potential. Excuse me, in terms of jobs, and that if I just kept trying harder, and that's what I've always felt like. If you try a little harder, then you'll finally get over that hump. And I always felt like you're smarter than this job, whatever it may be. But then I would, you know, do horrible at it. And I finally feel like in terms of my work, like, I know I'm not stupid. And I could do more than clean. But it seems like it suits me. I don't know what, it's a combination of the physicalness, because I don't like to sit still.
It's right.
Very difficult. And I like it that I can just go there and forget about it, and then I can do my other interests on my time off.
Right.
And I feel like that's the best combination of, but that was a big internal struggle. Like, I need to go back to college. I need to go back to college. And I would really like to make more money than I do. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not going to feel bad about what I do anymore.
Good for you.
There's no shame in it.
Absolutely not.
But I do wish my brain chemistry was a little better. I wish I didn't have such scattered thoughts. I wish I wasn't so prone to depression. That would be the main thing. And I wish my metabolism was a little bit better, for fuck's sake. It just runs in my family. It's like we get weight and we just hang on to it. It's like, I'm never going to get off.
Right.
So I wish those things were different. But I really don't feel like I want to be a man. Can I say something, and please don't take it the wrong way?
Of course.
Well, I was saying to the smoker the other day, I said, yeah, sometimes I just think women are smarter than men anyway. don't get me wrong. You're very smart, and that's not what I mean, but I mean, I think men are smart in these, like, boxes, you know, because you can remember stuff and you can do stuff that I'll never be able to do, right? I can't do computer shit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like everything is so segmented that you don't have this whole picture. So that's why I say that I think sometimes women see the whole picture better than men, and you can transfer that into being smarter.
Well, I will hear now. All my male cohorts who are listening to this are going to expect me to defend the man.
Yes.
I agree, though, that men tend to be short-sighted. At least I am. Certainly I'm short-sighted. Mm-hmm. I have no vision of the future or the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll agree. I'll give you that one. I'm not going to debate this point with you. I choose to agree with you on this.
But I think men have the tenacity to do things that I would never think were worth it. Like
pushing sand around for
that kind of thing. I mean, like, if I was around when they started to have electricity, right? And they said, what we're going to do is we're going to fill this whole world with poles and lines, and I'm like, you are fucking crazy. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This is a ridiculous undertaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think men are just like, well, duh, why can't I do it? Why can't I build this bridge that goes from France to England? Duh.
Right.
So I do give men the credit for just making shit happen.
Right.
I think men really are out there making shit happen all the time.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't feel like men have the empathy gene as well. I think you do. You're one of the few men.
No, come on. Now, I'm pretty callous.
Not constantly.
I'm pretty cold-hearted.
Not constantly, but what you do, what I've noticed, is that you at least notice.
Thank you.
I see that Brenda's upset. All right. Duly noted. But no, yeah, you can be pretty.
Time to turn on sympathy routine. Alpha 2.
But some men don't even have that. They don't notice. Yeah, you can be very callous. That's just you. I accept it. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
So I just, like, try not to take it personally that I suggested a TV show that I thought you might like, and you just can't stop telling me how bad it is.
I have, as a man, I have a strong, short-sighted opinion.
Yep. I need to go on Twitter. It's not like you... So what I'm talking about is that Musing Mark also does not like the show called Bloodline, because I just talking it up to him. So Mark made a tweet saying, I don't care for this. And then Faye saw it. And rather than just agreeing with Mark, he has to make sure that my name is included. I want Brenda to see that I hate this as well. So I thought, gosh, that's kind of mean-spirited on his part. But I will just...
I was including you. I wanted to include you.
You wanted to include me. Right. So I was just like, ugh. These men have these opinions, such strong opinions about shit that doesn't matter.
Well, fair enough.
Did you see this show? Oh my God, it was horrible. All right.
No, I mean it was really horrible.
But men really get up in arms about the strangest conversations.
Well, Brenda.
Are we done?
I think we might be.
We didn't talk about living in your head. Can we talk about that
in
the last
10
minutes?
Yeah, sure.
I always thought that I lived in my head a lot, where I was like having lots of internal conversations, reliving stuff, which I do. I do replay things in my head and think, oh, I should have done this, or if I had more guts, I would have told Faye to fuck straight off.
Right.
No, I wouldn't do that. But I'm starting to think I don't live in my head as much as I just live in constant reaction mode. Do you feel like, what do you feel like you do?
Remember you're always talking about me having my boxes. Mm-hmm. I live my segmented life.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do the same thing where I will consider a situation and like replay it over and over and think about the different scenarios or what could have happened or this could have resulted in that. Mm-hmm. So I will do that to a certain extent, but I know that I physically make sure that I turn that on and off. So I'll segment out. I'll say, well, let's take a work example, for example, where something will occur in my work that will affect me in a significant way, like maybe a bad call where children are involved or, you know, some bad thing has happened that I feel I could have handled the situation better or what have you. You know, this will lay heavy on me,
mm-hmm.
emotionally speaking. But I know that I physically will clamp that down and not think about it. I'll turn that off. I'll pile all those variables into my little box and park it on the shelf in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll move on with my life. I'll conduct myself at home. I hardly ever talk about my work outside of my work to other people as a defense to maintain sort of a healthy mental outlook on my work,
mm-hmm.
which can be stressful at times. So I'm aware that's what I do. And then when I feel that the time is appropriate, then I will pull that box off the shelf and unload it and think about the issue and consider it.
Right.
So I do a lot of that. I'm not just talking about work, heavy work stress situations. I'm talking about all kinds of situations where I'll take a specific time to consider and think about this problem. And then I'll think about it for a while, and I'll shut it down and carry on with something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the way you segment is the reason why that sometimes I agitate you so much is because I've got my own agendas and feelings and thoughts, and I'm a little more fly by night. I don't, you know, nothing in my life is ever that important that I can't stop it and do something else and then pick it back up, right?
Right.
But whenever you know, if I tweet you that I want, basically, hey, I would like your attention for a moment for whatever it is, you're like, this allocated time has been put towards this.
Right.
I don't have time for you right now. Whereas if it was me, I would have been like, oh, they want something, I'll deal with it, blah, 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 and then I'll just pick it right back up. That's very difficult for you to do that.
Yes, it is. That's a very accurate assessment of how my brain works.
Like, a while back when I drove down to Vancouver and I was so tired right after work and I really needed to talk to, like, I wanted to talk to you to help me keep me awake.
Right.
And so I just called you randomly.
Yes.
Of course, you did not pick up. I guess...
You don't know why.
I don't know why. You didn't pick up. About 2 minutes later, you say, call me back. So I call you back, and you're just like, pissy.
Yeah.
What do you need?
The wall. I had put the wall up.
What do you need? Oh, nothing. I just wanted to talk to you because I was tired. Well, what's so hard? Just drive and don't hit anybody. Because I was getting around Seattle, the traffic was getting heavy, and I was getting a little overwhelmed. Being like, well, just don't hit anybody. All right, well, okay, never mind. And then you, like, went, you took a breath, and you're like, all right, okay, yeah, you can talk to me. I'm regrouping. And then you accommodated me. But that was difficult. That was so difficult for you.
Yes, it was. I was just not in the mindset, you know, like, you're absolutely right. I had my brain, my short-sighted male brain, was targeted on some specific task.
You were going to work on Mr. Anderson's scooter.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm sorry about that, but that's the way it works.
Right.
But I softened.
Yeah, you did.
I did soften.
You talked to me for like an hour, and you really, I mean, you really helped me get me through that drive, because I was just starting to zone out and get into that driving kind of like, I'm gonna fall asleep. That's the only thing about our friendship that scares me sometimes, is that, like, if I want to reach out to you and I'm like thinking, I'll do this thing where I'm like, all right, okay, he worked all night, but he had one day off. He's probably gotten, you know, how can I, is this a good time to try to communicate? What are my percentage of rejection possibilities?
Oh, my God, how horrible.
That's the only thing that's... I don't want you to associate me with constant irritations and interruptions. So I'm always trying, but, you know, it's just like sometimes it's just like... I really like to talk to him right now. Mm-hmm. Hi. What? Never mind.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. It's so hard.
That's all right. I mean, I understand you pretty well.
That's a big ask. I have to say, you accommodate me like nobody else does. I have to definitely give you kudos for that, because I certainly don't make it easy to be a friend, do I?
Sometimes
I am like constantly putting up roadblocks, and You just roll with the punches. In one way, I feel bad, because I know that, you know, we need our friends, right? Sometimes we really need our friends badly.
Yeah.
And when you risk the chance of having your hand sliced off when you raise it to ask a question, it can be pretty stressful.
Yeah.
So, but we've made out. I mean, I think I'm getting a little better.
Yeah, you are.
As time goes on.
As you said, I won't go away. Not nice. But I think you know that I would do anything for you.
Absolutely.
Right? And I feel like, ultimately, if it was convenient, you would do it.
Right.
But...
at some point in the next 24 hours, I will lay down my life for you.
I will contact you.
Please give me 30 minutes notice.
But this is the way I view it. Like, some people are just, I guess they're just worth the hassle. You're just worth the hassle.
Oh, thanks.
So, well, we should wrap it up. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? Or are you just going to leave town?
I don't know. I could be convinced of something.
I'm hungry. Okay. I'm getting the shakes.
Oh, you're really hungry.
Well, it's 2 o'clock.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm okay.
So you can write us at fayandbrenda@gmail.com. So say goodbye, Faye.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.